Before I speak tonight, I want to make it very plain that I'm not resigning. I may sound a little bit like I'm going to resign, but I'm not. I'm not going to resign. I'm going to re-sign. But I have no intentions of resigning. I want to just read this word to you. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Now, my pastor, who was the man who most influenced my life and my ministry, Dr. J.C. Sizemore, was the best Bible student I've ever known. I've never known anybody that knew the Bible. He's the best Bible teacher I've ever known. He was an expository preacher, which means he's preached the Bible verse by verse. And I never knew a man that knew the Bible like he did. But he called to my attention one time this verse. He said, now, he said, Brother Jack, we're supposed to preach the word, but he said there's something else we're supposed to do. So we're supposed to reprove, rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine, which means that the only thing we're supposed to do is not just preach the word. The man of God sometimes is supposed to rebuke the people, sometimes reprove the people, and not just preach the word. Some of you fellows help the fellow back there, please. That's right. And so tonight I will be criticized, I'm sure, by a few, because I'm not going to preach the word tonight. I'm going to reprove a little bit. I'm not going to rebuke. But we're going to have a little family meeting tonight, and I want to, I think I owe it to you. I've been your pastor for I'm beginning my 32nd year as pastor of the First Baptist Church of Hammond. I've always been transparent. I'm not a big shot, never having claimed to be a big shot. I'm not a big preacher, never claimed to be a big preacher. I'm not a great preacher. I've never claimed to be a great preacher. I have claimed to be sincere, and I am sincere from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. I also have tried to keep you up. I've never tried to hide anything from you. And I want to set you at ease tonight, if I can, a little while. I had a little setback this week physically, and I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to tell you some things I've never told you before, and I think it'll help you. So this will be a testimony kind of a message. It'll not be a sermon. So please bear with me as I talk to you pastorally and lovingly, as a father would talk to his children, as a brother would talk to the family. Dr. Lee Robertson paid to me about 30 years ago one, if not the greatest compliment I've ever had paid to me. I was, at that time, we had just gotten here. We're going through the battle, which was necessary for us to establish this great soul-winning church. And I want to make this very plain. Nothing is ever born without travail. Nothing is ever born without suffering. If you're going to build a great church, fellas, you better make your mind up. You're going to have to travail and pay the price. And everything that's born is born through pain and suffering. We're going through the battle here. And since I'm known among fundamentalists all over the country, folks were talking about Brother Hiles. Please listen to me now. Talking about Brother Hiles being at First Baptist Church of Hammond and the changes that took place in this church from a very ultra-formal church to a very ultra-informal church. And because of that, we went through the battle. Somebody said that Dr. Lee Robertson said, do you think Hiles, Brother Jack Hiles, will survive? Well, Dr. Robertson's always called me Jack. And somebody said, do you think Brother Hiles will survive in the battle? And Dr. Robertson paid me perhaps the greatest compliment I've ever had. He said, no doubt about it, no doubt about it. He said, Jack is a survivor. Jack is a survivor. One of the greatest compliments I've ever been paid. One thing I learned years ago, and that is, don't try to destroy your enemy. The title of my message tonight is, The Best Revenge is Perseverance. The best revenge is perseverance. I learned years ago, do not try to destroy your enemy, just persevere. That'll cause him more suffering and pain than most anything else. Somebody's trying to kill you and you won't die, that's pretty exasperating for them, you know. And I love that story read a while ago. Hope you got it while we read it. The Apostle Paul and Silas were in prison in Philippi. And they were singing, praise it, God, at midnight. And all of a sudden, while they were singing and testifying and praising God at midnight in prison, earthquake came. The prisoner fell down and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so they caused the earthquake. Well, the folks and the magistrates, the Bible says, became very concerned about that. And they came to Paul and Silas and said, You fellows have caused enough trouble now. You've caused an earthquake. You've caused a prison to be torn down. Now, we'd like you fellows just sneak out of town. And Paul said, Sneak out of town? Nothing. He said, No way, no way. Well, they said, We don't want you in our town. He said, It makes no difference to me. He said, You put us in this place publicly and you will lead us out publicly. And they said, Well, look now, you got to leave town. Paul said, No, we're not going to leave town. You're going to take us out the same way that we came in. And I can still see a couple of Baptist preachers walking out with bands playing and all the fanfare as they left out. And the perseverance of Paul and Silas caused enough revenge. I'm going to talk to you about personally now for quite a while, and you're going to say some things I've never said in my life before publicly. I've said them to a few people privately, but some things I've never said publicly. When I was a paratrooper in World War II, I was in the paratroops and we got to Fort Benning, Georgia, and we took physical examinations. In those days, I weighed 141 pounds, same height I am now. I weigh now 155 pounds, and then there's the other leg also I can talk about later. But I weighed 141 pounds, and if I stuck my tongue out, you'd have thought I was a zipper. I was so skinny. That was a funny one. And as Jack Scott says about himself, he says he's so skinny that striped pajamas are a solid color on him. And so if you want to see what I looked like when I was in the paratroopers, you look at Jack Scott. That's how bad a shape that I was in. And thank God I have a more mature figure now. So the first day in the paratroopers, we had a physical examination and we stripped to the waist. And you could count my ribs as I stripped to the waist. And there was an All-American football player who was being examined, and he looked at me. And he began to laugh at me. He looked at my physique, and he began to laugh at me. And he said, How in the world, sonny boy, do you think you're going to make a paratrooper? And he went over and he thumped me on the chest like that. I drew back and knocked him out. Well, at least I drew back. And so I... But he made fun of me in front of all those fellas. About 500 fellas being examined there, all of us stripped to the waist, and he made fun of me. He said, Look at there, fellas. That skinny run will never make a paratrooper. Well, we were running 10 miles about 4 weeks later. We had our daily morning 10-mile run. And so this All-American football player, who was about a 56 chest and a 30 waist, and I was about a 30 chest. Anyway, we were running. And all of a sudden, I saw him turning, changing color. His face was changing color. He got pale. And all of a sudden, I was jogging along there, you know. We'd been running 5 or 6 miles and had our combat boots on, counting cadence. Hup, hup, three, four. Hup, hup, three, four. And I looked over, and this fella was about to pass out. And before long, he started throwing up. Well, not throwing up. He was throwing down, really. I never have understood why throwing up. I've never thrown up. It's always goes down. I don't know what... But anyway, that was another good one, wasn't it? And so you folks that don't like this, go on home. We're going to have fun tonight. So go on home. Just get out of here. We're having a family meeting. If you don't like it, shoo. But anyway, he fell out. And I mean unconscious. And then they finally revived him. Well, guess what I did? I was running over here on the outside of the group like that, and I just made a circle and ran back there. He was lying over here beside the road, and I was still running. I couldn't believe it. That's that All-American football player. He's passed out, and he's over there throwing down. And you know, I may be known for this. I probably have started coined a new term tonight, the term throwing down. You get sick and throw down. But I ran by him and waved at him. I was out of ranks, and the sergeant said, where are you going, Hiles? I said, I'll be back. And so I ran back behind the group and ran by and waved at him. And ran around again. I waved at him again. I went around again, and I threw a kiss to him. And then I ran, caught up with the outfit. Now, I didn't have to get back at him just to see me keeping on running while that big goon, that fellow was lying there. And so, the truth is, he didn't make the paratroopers. He flunked the paratroop physical because he couldn't run 10 miles with us. And so when he shipped out, I went down to the train station to see him off. I didn't speak one unkind word to him. I said, bye-bye, and that's not unkind. Now, the way I said it was not real nice, but I said, bye-bye. Now, I'm saying that was the biggest revenge I could have ever gotten from calling me a sissy and said I couldn't make it. You see, perseverance is the best way to get revenge. Just keep on going. Just don't turn back. Just don't stop. That's the best way to get revenge. 33 years ago next month, on October the 10th, I was given my walking papers with the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm not ever going to be a Southern Baptist until they take back what they said to me. You say, what did they say to you? They said, get out. But they gave me a choice of supporting their liberal colleges and seminaries are being excommunicated from the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, I don't claim to be a great preacher. I don't claim to be a great Bible teacher, but I would not give that quarter there, not one quarter, or not 1/25 of that quarter, to a school that doesn't believe that that's the Word of God right there. No way I'd do it. No way. I've been preaching, been over 40 years has passed since that day. I believe this book like I always did. I'll not give one dime to a school that has dances on the campus. I'll not do that at all. I'll not give one dime to a school that has little cheerleaders running out there in skirts showing their thighs at halftime at a football game or basketball game. I won't do that. Well, you say, Brother Howell, that's old-fashioned. Name it what you want to name it. You're going to have to live with it if you come to the First Baptist Church of Hammond. 2 and 2 is 4. Sunrise East sets in the West. Cubs come in last place. And I hate Notre Dame. And there's some things you can depend on. And one of them is that I'm not going to change. First place, I'm too old to change. And second place, I'm too dumb to change. And I don't know what I'd change to. I don't know anything else. But I'm simply saying that they... So he said there are two uncontrollable churches here in the Dallas Baptist Association. One is the Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas, pastored by Brother Jack Hiles. The other is the Open Door Church in Mesquite, Texas, pastored by Brother Joe Boyd. He said both of these men obviously are running with fundamental preachers more than Southern Baptist preachers, and they have been running with such questionable characters as Lester Roloff and Lee Robertson and John R. Rice. I did not know at that time that E. Robertson, Lester Roloff, and John Rice were questionable characters. I found out later that all three are questionable characters. And they said, we have given these men a chance to support our work and cut off their fellowship with these questionable, independent fundamentalists. But he said, I'm making a motion that we expel these two uncontrollable, independent-minded churches from the Dallas Baptist Association. And with 7 votes for me, the rest of for Joe Boyd and me, by the way, that the date of that was October the 10th. You know what October the 10th is? October the 10th is the Day of Atonement. You know what they did on the Day of Atonement in Bible days? They took 2 goats. They killed 1 goat and then led the other one out in the wilderness so he would never come back again. So the Southern Baptists were celebrating the Day of Atonement. I was one goat. Joe Boyd was the other goat. But wait a minute. So what did you do, Brother House? Kept on going. Believe it or not, the next Sunday we had church again. Yeah, Sunday night we had church. Have any battles? Oh yes, had some battles. Lose some friends? Yeah, lost some friends. The college where I was educated, the president called me, and he had told me before, Dr. H.D. Bruce had told me, that I was one of the 2 outstanding students in the over 100-year history of that college. He called me and said, Mr. Hiles, he said, if you do not cooperate with the Southern Baptist Convention, I wasn't refusing to cooperate with the Southern Baptist Convention. I was refusing to cooperate with a college that didn't believe the Bible is the Word of God. I was refusing to cooperate with a college that believed theistic evolution and tried to say they believe the Bible because they believe believe in theistic evolution. Brother, I believe in direct creation by God Almighty, and man didn't evolve from anything. The only argument that they have that prove that man came from a monkey is the monkeys that teach that man came from a monkey. But they're not men anyway, so they have not yet evolved. But I'm saying that that you say, Brother Hiles, I don't like what you're preaching. We got 18 doors on the lower floor here, and yeah, they're easy to get to. You can get to one in a hurry. If you want to get to it, you get to it in a real big hurry. And but here's the story. A few years ago, I got a letter from that very man. Dear Dr. Hiles, I understand your work in Hammond is growing and flourishing. He said, is there anything you could do to help me know some methods that will help our church do the same thing? What's the best revenge? Perseverance. Hang in there. Somebody says you can't make it, then hang in there and make it. Yeah. Somebody tries to destroy you, don't let them do it. That'll make them madder than anything else in the world. I've often tell about this boxer years ago. I don't like boxing. I'm against boxing. I think boxing ought to be outlawed. I think it ought to be illegal. Congress ought to pass a law against boxing. But until they do, I'm going to watch every boxing match I can. And used to have a guy named Gene Fulmer. Gene Fulmer's nose looked like a pancake. It did. Gene Fulmer had no defense at all. He came in like this. But, and oh boy, little cute guys come out there and they'd hit him, you know, and Gene Fulmer just came in, kept on coming in. And they'd hit him, and they'd hit him, and they'd hit him, and they'd hit him, and Gene Fulmer would not go down. After a while, the guy hit him so much, his arms were tired, and he'd have to almost throw his arm up like that, and Gene Fulmer knocked him out then after he got so tired. Now, perseverance is the greatest revenge in the whole world. Somebody's trying to get you, just keep on going. Somebody trying to destroy you, just keep on going. Somebody trying to criticize you, just keep on going. I never forget that day I was voted out. Joe Boyd and I were voted out of the Southern Baptist Convention. And there was an evangelist in the Southern Baptist Convention, a young evangelist, a very well-known one. He and I were good friends. Mrs. Hiles and I would eat with them in their home. They would eat with us. And that night they came over to eat with us, the night we were voted out. And he paced the floor. He was as nervous as a cat. He said, Jack, he said, you got to do something about this. He said, that's not right. They voted you out. Now, you got to do something about this. He said, what you ought to do, tell your side of the story, print it, and send a copy to every pastor in the entire Southern Baptist Convention. I said, that's a good idea. So I told my side of the story and printed it and sent a copy to every pastor in the Southern Baptist Convention. He came to my house a few weeks later and said, Brother Jack, I can't run with you anymore. I said, why? He said, you've ruined me. You sent a copy of the story to every preacher in the Southern Baptist Convention. Well, I said, you rascal, you told me to. But he said, you did it. And I'm having meetings canceled out because of it. I can't run. His singer was a member of our church. He left our church. This young evangelist did not run with me. Wait a minute. He thought I was dead. He thought I wouldn't make it. He left. 8 years passed. I came to First Baptist Church of Hammond. We were building one of the largest churches in the world, baptizing more people than anybody in any church in the whole world. I was preaching down in Baytown, Texas one night, building about the size of these two center sections, seated about 800 people, I guess, maybe a little less, maybe 1,000. The house was packed and jammed. Had a wonderful service that night. Altar was full of people. I knelt at the altar here, and I was weeping, and folks were getting right with God. I did not know that young evangelist was in the service that night. I did not know that. And all of a sudden, somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, Brother Jack, I looked up. It's the same young evangelist that betrayed me 8 years before. And he said, Brother Jack, I heard you were in town. And he said, Brother Jack, I came to hear you preach. He said, I've had nothing but hell ever since I betrayed you and turned on you. He said, I want you to forgive me. I should have stuck with you. I want you to forgive me. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying, don't turn back. I'm saying hang in there. I'm saying if they criticize you or betray you or try to destroy you, hang in there. Perseverance is the greatest revenge of all. I was, and this is an old story, but I love to tell it. I was down in a town right outside Fayetteville, Arkansas. I forgot the name of the town, but it's in the greater Fayetteville area. And the greater Fayetteville area is not very great. But anyway, I was in a little town outside Fayetteville, Arkansas. I walked out that night. In those days, Dr. Rice was with me some, and we had set our book tables up out in the lobby. And a lady walked up to me, and she said, Dr. Hiles, she said, could I work at your book table? I'd love to do it. And I said, ma'am, I'm sorry. The pastor's already lined up three people. And she said, well, Brother Hiles, could my husband and I take you out to lunch tomorrow? And I said, I'm sorry. We're having a preacher's luncheon tomorrow. She said, could we take you out to supper tomorrow night? And I said, I'm sorry, but I don't eat much before I preach. And she said, boy, you ought to see me after I preach, though. But she said, Brother Hiles, could my husband and I take you out to breakfast on Wednesday morning? I said, I'm leaving too early to go to the airport. She said, could we drive you to the airport? I said, I'm sorry, somebody's already asked me. And she put her head in her hand like that, on her arm like that, and dipped down like that, and began to beat on the table. And I said, ma'am, what's the story here? Why do you want to do something for me? She said, don't you know who I am? I said, no, ma'am. And she called her name. She said, years ago, I was a member of Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas. My husband and I, we lived about 2 or 3 miles from the church. Came every Sunday morning and every Sunday night. And she said, you were voted out of the Southern Baptist Convention. We thought you were through. So we left you and went over to Second Baptist Church and joined Second Baptist Church in Garland. And she said, now we've moved here. And she said, there you are up in Hammond. You got the largest church in the Sunday school and church in the whole country. At that time, she said, in the whole world. And she said, my husband and I left you. We thought you were finished. She said, why didn't you tell us that someday you're going to pastor the largest church in America? I said, you didn't ask me. And she said, we've lived in horror. We own our own airplane. Anytime you preach within 200 miles of where Fayetteville, we come to hear you preach, and you're our favorite preacher. And to think, she said, we wouldn't drive across Garland, and we left you because we thought you were washed up. What am I saying? I'm saying perseverance is the best revenge. You don't have to fight back, just keep on going. You don't have to shoot back at your enemies, just keep on going. Just don't turn back. Shall I turn back into the world? No, no, not I, not I. Shall I turn back? No, no, I won't turn back. I'll keep on going. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. 30 years ago, we were in a battle right here in this church. People trying to destroy us. They tried to set our house on fire and did set the curtains in our garage on fire. And the curtain, the garage is connected to the house, as you know. And if God hadn't waked me up in the middle of the night, our house would have been burned and all of us, no doubt, would have been burned to death and our entire family killed. And God's Holy Spirit woke me up. But we had a battle, a real battle. And one wealthy lady pointed to me one night and she said to me, she said, Reverend Hiles, I'll tell you, she said, I've got millions of dollars. And she said, if I've got to spend the last dollar I have, I'll destroy you. She said, I'll see to it that I'll spend every dime I've got to see to it you're destroyed. Well, you say, what'd you do? Kept on going. Went to church the next Sunday morning. Went back on Sunday night. Went back on Wednesday night. Kept on going. That's all. Kept on going. Kept on going. You said, Brother Hiles, weren't you scared of that lady? Sure, I'm scared of that lady. I'm scared of every lady, but especially a rich lady. And especially a gossiping rich lady, or a gossiping poor lady, or a gossiping medium lady. But sure, boys, you kept on going. Well, you say, Brother Hiles, weren't you scared? Yeah, I was scared. Of course I was. But you don't just serve God when you're scared. You keep on serving God anyhow. You don't serve God when it's easy. You serve when it's hard. You don't serve when the sun's shining. Serve him when it's cloudy. You don't serve him just in fair weather. Serve him in cloudy weather, rainy weather, storms. Kept on going. A few weeks later, she was driving a car not far from where I am right now, and the car left the road, and she was killed immediately. What's the best revenge? Perseverance. Now, I want to come to what I want to say tonight. I don't really want to say this, but I feel you ought to know it. I want to set you at ease about some things. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. So do I. Brother Young. There was something wrong with Paul's body. There was something, Paul said, that he had a thorn in the flesh that caused him trouble in his ministry. I want to share with you something I've never shared publicly before. I was preaching in Panama City, Florida, almost 30 years ago. About two-thirds through in my sermon, I lost it. I lost it. I kept on talking, but did not know what I was saying. When the service ended, I went to Dr. John Rice. He was there with me, and I said, "Dr. Rice, did I make sense tonight?" And he said, "Brother Hiles, you made perfect sense." But I couldn't remember the service. I still don't remember anything about that sermon. I was staying in a home, a beautiful mansion of a home with a lovely family. And I went that night to my room, asked if I could go straight to the room, and I cried all night long. I thought I'd lose my mind. I really did. And I cried all night long. And I said, "Dear God, I've got to be able to think clearly." And for about a few hours, I could not remember. Next morning, I was a little shaky, but I preached that morning at the Central Baptist Church in Panama City, Florida. And immediately, it was gone. For a couple of 3 days, I was a little shaky, a little nervous, because, you know, when you don't remember what you did, you wonder what you did. You know what I mean? and you don't remember what you said, you wonder what you said. I'm afraid that if something like that happens again, I'll say what I want to say, and that'd get me in trouble. But next morning I preached, a little trembly, but I preached. That night, Tuesday night, everything was fine. Now, from that moment to this, about every 2 or 3 years, I have the same thing happen to me. I do not know what it is. The doctors don't know what it is. But about every 2 or 3 years, for about 3 or 4 or 5 hours, I have the same thing happen to me. Now, I don't worry about it. It does me good to know how Brother Colston has to live all the time. I have a sharp mind. I'm not an intellectual, but I have a sharp mind, and I have a quick mind. But about every 2 or 3 years, the doctors say, Dr. Streeter's checked me over and over again. In fact, I'll go into that after a while. But nobody seems to know what it is. It's not a stroke. Well, it's a stroke of genius I have, but it's not a stroke, and nobody seems to know what it is. But about every 2 or 3 years, for 30 years, I've had it. That's what happened to me Wednesday night. I'm trying to set you at ease, let you know that there's nothing different now than what's been all the time I've been your preacher. It just happens, the last two times, it just seemed to happen at a time where it was hard to conceal it. You know, if it happens to you, before you go to bed, you can sleep it off. You know, go home, take a little drink, and sleep it off. Smoke some pot. But anyway, years ago, I was preaching here on a Sunday night. I was preaching on the subject to hell and back from, I think, what, Audie Murphy's book, To Hell and Back. The title came from that. But I in that sermon, I actually, in my own mind, went to hell but never came back. And all of a sudden, it snapped while I was preaching, and I did not realize where I was, and I kept on preaching. I went to baptism, baptized in those days. I was baptized by rote. Went back to my office, couldn't find my office. I finally guessed where it was, went in the office, took off for home, couldn't find the way home. Finally did find the way home. For a few hours, I was out of it. Next morning, on Monday morning, I went to the airport, caught a plane, was a little shaky on Monday night, but a priest on Monday night, and everything was all right. It didn't happen again for a number of years. One Sunday morning, here in this service, the mayor of Hammond was sitting in the service that morning. And right in the middle of my sermon, about nearly finished. No, about in the middle of it, I lost it. I kept on preaching, but I lost it. I don't know what I said. And so I finished preaching. That afternoon, I went to my office. I was scared. I fell on my face. I cried. I begged God to help me. And for 3 or 4 hours, I lost my memory and couldn't remember preaching that morning. Several months passed. I was preaching in Atlanta, Georgia. Our oldest daughter, Becky, and her family were living down in the area, and they came to hear me preach. And so after the service, Becky said, "Dad, take us out to eat." And I said, "Puddin', I don't like to go out and eat after the service." She said, "But Daddy, you don't even, your grandchildren don't even know you. We never get to spend any time with you. And your grandkids think you're a picture in the sword of the Lord. They think their granddaddy's a picture and a piece of paper in the sword of the Lord." Said, "You got to." And so we went out to eat. We went to a real nice restaurant. I've forgotten what kind it was. I know it was plush. It was plush. I don't remember the name, but I remember what we had. We had Big Macs and French fries and chocolate shakes. And We're sitting there at the table that night, and Becky said, "Daddy, I just heard the best sermon ever heard you preach on tape the other day." And I said, "Wonderful, wonderful. What was it?" And she told me the title, and I said, "Puddin', that's the sermon." She said, "What sermon is that?" I said, "That's the sermon." She said, "What sermon?" I said, "That's the one I preach while I was crazy." She said, "Daddy, I don't know about that, but it's the best sermon you ever preached in your life." She said, "God lifted you out of yourself." Did he ever lift me out of myself? That morning. And she said, "It's the greatest sermon in your life." Now listen to me carefully. I do not know, but I think God wants to let me know every once in a while he does it. God wants to remind me that in my weakness I'm made strong. I was preaching at Levon Drive Baptist Church, and all these I'm telling you about tonight, two or three years apart, and just happened for a while. And I was preaching at Levon Drive Baptist Church in Garland, Texas, and I got about halfway through the sermon, and I lost it. And I don't know what I said the rest of the sermon. I went back to my hotel that night. I found the neighborhood the hotel was in, but had to look carefully to find the hotel, and had to look carefully to find my room. I went to bed, scared to death, had a hangover, and slept it off. And the next morning, cautiously, as this always is the case, and a little apprehensive and maybe a little scared, to be quite frank with you, I'd rented a car. I turned the car into the car rental place. I caught my flight, flew back to Chicago, slept all the way, came back to Wednesday night service. You knew nothing about it. I was fine, but, a little shaky, but you didn't know anything was wrong on Wednesday night. What am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you that that's what happened at Bob Jones University to me a little over two years ago. I was preaching at Bob Jones University in a morning service, and I lost it. I began to tell the same illustration. I told it three times in the same sermon. And Dr. Curtis Hudson, who was in charge of the service, stepped up and asked me, told the people. He said, I don't remember a thing about this. And I remember one thing. I asked the question, "Did I say something wrong?" And he said, "No, you didn't." And the people stood and clapped as I walked away. Some of the folks here, Keith McKinney was there that morning when I preached at Bob Jones University. His sister Gail was there. And numbers of you folks were there, and you saw what happened. And they took me to the hospital, and they checked my heart and found my heart was okay. A little cold, but okay. They checked my head. They found nothing there. And I came back home. And Dr. Streeter put me through extensive tests. I took the test they check your arteries going to your brain and see if the blood was going to the brain. And the blood was going, but there was nothing to go to. But they gave me that test called MRI. That's a booger. Oh, boy. They put you in a big cylinder and things about a little bigger than your head, and they put you in that thing. You're so far in it you can't hear the nurse talk, and so they talk to you over a microphone, and you have a speaker in there, and you talk to them over the microphone, and they hear you out there over a speaker. And you wonder, what if the stupid microphone broke? I've seen microphones break before. And anybody that's got claustrophobia would just absolutely die. And it checks every little blood vessel in your head, every little tiny blood vessel. And they said everything's all right. And nobody's ever been able to find anything wrong. Now I'm saying that was on a Friday, had Friday morning, Sunday morning, I walked in the pulpit here. Remember what I said first? Huh? I said, "Folks, I may as well tell you right now what the trouble was." I said it was sickle cell anemia and AIDS. And when I said that, everybody laughed a little more than they did tonight. And and everybody said, "Everything is all right." Now, last Wednesday, I got up in Connecticut. What town? Wallingford, Connecticut. And I remember getting up, and I remember going down to the office and waiting for my ride. I remember going outside, waiting for him outside, walking around a little while. I remember going to the airport. I remember the plane. I remember that I had a cheese omelet on the airplane, along with some bacon and some sausage and a little fruit. And I remember that. I remember that Larry Weller met me at the O'Hare Field. And as I tell this story, the things I remembered, I remember a little less about each one. I remember driving to the college. I remember the skit that Brother Weaver conducted for the Shiites. I remember when he came in to inspect the troops. And Dr. Jorgensen, Dr. Young, and Dr. Evans and I were the troop. And he said to Dr. Jorgensen, said, "Soldier, suck in your gut." "No, don't put," he said, "stick out your chest." He said, "Oh, you don't have a chest, do you?" And I remember that. I don't remember preaching Wednesday. I don't remember. I preached on chapel at the college, and knowing myself, I know I did a wonderful job. But I do not remember a thing I said. I remember what I preached about, because I remember getting the outline up and preparing the sermon, but don't remember the sermon. Now, don't get alarmed. It happens about every 2 or 3 years, and I always get over it. 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 And, then my sister and I went to the dining hall, and we had lunch in the private dining hall there. First time we'd eaten together in a long time. I remember what I ate. I wasn't hungry. But they had a little steak they'd made for us, and I ate the tender side of a T-bone steak. Never have liked the tough side of a T-bone steak. Now, I wonder, when it's God and to get to heaven, why'd you make both those sides tender? But I ate that. I ate a little salad. And I remember a little bit about that. I remember going to the staff meeting. I remember telling the college staff and faculty that they could have, well, they said that I said that that they could have a day off every week from now on. I don't remember that. So, I don't remember giving the college folks a half a day off. Now, I came to my office. I don't remember anything that happened from 3 o'clock Wednesday afternoon until about 10 o'clock, maybe 9 o'clock Wednesday night. I called Ms. McKinney and told her I wasn't feeling well, or called her down. Did I talk to you personally? Called her at a teacher's meeting, and she came down. I don't remember this. She told me it happened, so I'm sure it didn't. But she said, I told her, "I'm not feeling well. I can't go to church tonight." And she said, I told her to ask Johnny Colston to take care of the teacher's meeting, and ask Jack Scott to preach for me if he couldn't, ask Ray Young. She told me that. I do not remember it. Mrs. Hiles came to my office. I do not remember it. She drove me home. I do not remember that. Along about 9 o'clock, I began to remember a few things, and I came. Everything was fine. Now then, that's what happened, and it's probably happened 15 times in the last 27, 28 years. So I'm going to make a few observations. Now, I'm telling you this, I want you to know that nothing different is happened. Brother Hiles hasn't had some kind of a seizure because he's getting old. No, I'm not sick, I'm not old. I'm ornery, but I'm not sick, I'm not old. But whatever it is, it's been happening for 27 years. They don't know what causes it. They've taken all kinds of tests. They don't know what causes it. And it's been going on for these 27 to 30 years. Now, so nothing is wrong. And I'll probably be all right till I'm not all right the next time. And but usually it happens about every 2 or 3 years. Now, you have to bear in mind something. I never take a vacation. Never take a vacation. You take vacations, I don't. Staff takes vacations. I don't. Never take a vacation. I never do. I never take a day off. I have no hobbies. I don't play golf. I quit playing golf because they discriminated against me. They mowed the grass where the other fellows played, wouldn't mow the grass where I played. So I said, I won't play golf anymore. But I work. That's all I do is work. Dr. Streeter, who always comes to try to help me, and who I had this same MRI test to check my brain, same one I had 2 years ago. I had it last Friday night. Dr. Streeter told me Saturday, he said, we've looked at it, everything is fine, there's nothing wrong with your brain at all. A bit small, but nothing wrong with it at all. Every little blood vessel's okay, and he said there's nothing wrong. There's no tumor there. There's no stroke, no blood clot. Everything is all right. Now, all they can figure is that my brain just gets tired and says, if you won't give me a vacation, I'll take one myself. And so my brain just leaves me for about 4, 5, 6 hours, and they say that I act okay. And the funny thing, I'm aware of the present. What's going on in the present? But when it's over, I don't remember what happened. All I know is there's a bunch of jewelry at my house, and and all this money where it came from. Now I'm taking a whole service tonight because I think I should. You've been wondering, what's wrong with Brother Hiles? Why was he in his office Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, and didn't come to teacher's meeting? I wanted you to know, and I should have told you a long time ago, but there's nothing different. Now I want to make a few observations. Number one is, we don't know what it is. Probably, Dr. Streeter's diagnosis is as good as any. I thought it was low blood sugar. For all these years, I thought it was low blood sugar. But they took my blood sugar, and it was normal this time. A little disappointed, because I wanted to find out it was something I could cure. And, by the way, that's why I've gained so much weight. I never ate breakfast before. I'm not a breakfast eater. But since the Bob Jones incident, I've been afraid not to eat breakfast. And so now, I eat breakfast. Not much. Oh, 6 pieces of toast, 2 bowls of cereal. 18 pieces of bacon, some ham. And then after that comes the main course. Now, I've never eaten before I preach at night. Never have. But for the last 2 years, I've been afraid not to. And I go down to the restaurant, wherever I am, I go down and I get me a good meal, and a good healthy meal. I'm afraid not to. So I eat 3 meals a day because I'm afraid not to. Now, that midnight snack, that's on my own. I've lived for 2 years on 1,000 calories a day and 7,000 calories at night. So don't know what it is. Second observation, it'll probably happen again. I never preach a sermon. I'm being honest with you. It's a cloud over my head all the time. You don't know this. You've never known this. But I never preach a sermon here or anywhere without one of the last things I pray is, dear God, don't let me make a fool of myself. And these people have come to hear me. Don't let me ruin their service tonight. Funny thing, when I'm in those things, there's some things, I don't remember anything. But I can't remember the name of this street over here. Johnson Street, right over here on the corner. Oakley Street. I can't remember Soul Street. I can't remember Willa Court, and I can't remember Fayette. So I have a little exercise I go through every day of my life, several times. I say, I have a little song I sing. Oakley, Soul, Willow Court, Fayette, Russell, Clinton, Douglas. If I can get those, I'm okay. If I'm preaching a little bit and I feel like I'm losing it, I'll just, under my breath, I'll say, Oakley, Soul, Willow Court, Fayette, Clinton, Douglas, and Russell. That's the streets down here. And I know I'm okay then. If I can't say those, then I sort of come in for a landing. But usually a crash landing, by the way. But it's going to happen again. But when it happens, I don't want you to panic. That's the whole purpose of this tonight. I'm not panicking. I don't want you to panic. I've been your pastor for 30 years, and for all those 30 years, I've lived with this thing. Some people have have epilepsy, and some people have sugar diabetes, and some people have heart problems, and I have this little problem. And I enjoy life. I'm a happy man. I'm not blue. I'm not melancholy. It's just a problem that I have, and it's something that only about 4 times has it happened while I was preaching. And so, after 50,000 sermons, only 4 times it's ever happened while I was preaching, the chances are pretty good I'm going to make it through the sermon, whatever sermon I'm preaching at the time. So I said, number one, what is it? We don't know. We think it's the fact that I don't take any vacations and don't take time off. And we think it's the fact that my brain just gets a little tired and says, I'm going to rest a while. If you won't rest, I'll rest. You go on without me and I'll catch up after a while. Third thing I want to say is, don't panic. I'll be all right. I'm all right tonight. I'm as normal as I can be tonight, which is below normal for most people. But I'm fine tonight. I'm a little nervous, a little shaky. This morning when I walked out to Sunday school class, first time I preached last night at the ordination service briefly, And this morning, first sermon I'd preached, when I sat down, I thank God for letting me get through it, as I do every time I preach. And don't panic. There's nothing wrong. I just go crazy about once every 2 years for about 4 or 5 hours. That's all. And that's not bad for a guy 63 years old. Number four, it's just something I have to live with. You have some things you've got to live with. Some of you, have you looked in the mirror and see what you've got on for a face? I mean, you've got some problems and you've got some burdens. How many of you have some form of illness that's perennial? Some form of illness. Raise your hand, would you please, all over the house? All right. Well, that's many, many hundreds of people here in this room tonight. Probably a couple of thousand people have some form of illness that you have to live with. Some people have sugar diabetes, and some people have epilepsy, and some people have this stuff I got. And now, number five, I'm not stopping. To you folks who are my enemies, don't get your hopes up. Number six, in this or any other area or any other problem or any other battle, don't bet against me. It would not be a good bet. Just don't bet against me. If you want to, go ahead, but you wouldn't have won yet one single bet if you'd bet against me. So, and then let me say this, and I'll be through. If I can keep going, so can you. If I can make it, you can. And tonight I'm calling us to keep on going. Not turning back, just keep on going. I don't care what the battle, don't care what the enemy, don't care what the opposition, don't care what the suffering, don't care what the obstacle is. Just keep on going. If an old man 63 years of age can hang in there, some of you little old college twerps can hang in there too. I mean, you come to college and you know where you are. If I can hang in there not knowing where I am, you can hang in there knowing where you are. So, about once every 2 or 3 years, it happens. Dr. Streeter's told me to do two things. Both impossible. One, he said, lose weight. I'd rather die young. He said, you got to lose. And I'm going to lose some weight. No, I'm not. I'm going on a diet, though. In fact, I promise God that I'm going to gain less weight every week than I have been gaining every week. But he said, I've got to lose some weight. And then he said, number two, I ought to cut back on my schedule a little bit. And the guy that said that to me stays up to 2 o'clock in the morning taking care of patients and gets up at 5 o'clock doing surgery. So you do it and then I'll do it, Buster. But... I've sort of borne my heart to you tonight. I'm not kidding you. It's something I live with. It's something that I every day I think about. It's something every time I preach, I wonder if it'll happen now. But it doesn't happen. It hasn't happened about 4 times. Listen to me now. Listen to me. Only about 4 times all these years. So when I walk up to preach, don't look at me and check me out. Let me check his eyes tonight. Do they look intelligent or not? You do that and I'll check yours. But I'm simply, you don't have to worry about that. 4 times out of 50,000 is not real bad. That's less than 1 time out of 10,000. So, and it just happened this week. So I got 10,000 good ones ahead of me without any problems. And I got a couple of years ahead of me probably without any problems. But I promise you a few things tonight. I have written, and I don't want to say this, but I have written in my book, Blue Denim and Lace, with my body I serve you, with my mind I love you. I must keep my body well and my mind well so I can serve you and love you better. I promise you, I'm going to work at easing up a little bit. I promise God to work only 4 hours a week from now on. But it's been a tough summer. I've had to guide the college through a few storms this summer. And I've spent more time at the college this summer than all the other summers put together in Howells Anderson College history. It's paid off. We have the best spirit Howells Anderson College has ever been at Howells Anderson College. Happiest student body and so forth. But the Lord simply said, now you're going to have to take off a few hours. And so I did. I remember when I was at Bob Jones. And by the way, 5 or 6 hours every 2 years. I bet there's not a person here that's sane that much of the time. Brother Colston is, I better not say it. But when I was coming back, and I'll never forget when they took me from the hospital, the Greenville, South Carolina Hospital, General Hospital, and a heart specialist took me over to the Bob Jones University Hospital. And I'll never forget, as I walked out that door, I was just coming back to it, I saw Keith and Gail. I'll never forget the looks on their faces. If you ever saw insecurity in your life and fear and worry, it was on their faces. I'll never forget it. And but when I was coming back, John Stansel was with me all the time. And I said, John, two things I said. I said, John, I've got to win lick this thing because my people leave me back in Hammond. And I said this, and John said, I said over and over again, I said, John, did I say anything when I was out of it that would dishonor Jesus? He said, no, you never did. He said, all you talked about was your people and how they needed you and how you needed them. So, I've taken a whole service tonight. I hope I've set you at ease. I've told you about a little problem I have. I'm crazy. You know how it is. And I've shared it with you. So nothing was wrong. It just was a little while, and then it was over. And the next day, I came to work a little while. And Friday, I came to work a little while longer. Yesterday, I worked all day and into the night last night, and everything is fine. Today, I've been very, very normal. A little bit apprehensive, and because that's a natural thing when you're getting over a little something, any kind of it. So it's the flu or being crazy, whichever one it is, that's the way it is. So I want you to know that whatever is wrong now was wrong when you joined this church. If you've been joined since I came. And whatever was wrong now was wrong in 1957. Whatever was wrong, I'm sorry, 1967. Whatever was wrong now was wrong in the 70s, was wrong in the 80s, and will be wrong in the 90s. Every once in a while, I have a little problem. And that's what happened. Now, here's what I'm saying. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. And as I said a while ago, don't bet against me. If you do, don't bet much against me. I'm going to keep going. And I want you to keep going. You have your problems. You have your obstacles. You have your needs. I want you to keep on going. Dr. Streeter took my blood test, and he said everything is fine except the cholesterol. It's 963, I think he said. But he's going to take care of that. And that's the only thing. No sugar diabetes. Nothing. My blood's all okay except the cholesterol is a little bit high. And so I'm going to cut down to 6 almond Hershey's a day instead of the usual 10 that I've been eating. And but all I'm saying is, let's keep on going. Let's keep on going. I hope tonight you feel more secure than you felt an hour ago. That's why I've talked to you as a friend, as a brother, as a father, as a pastor. I've talked to you tonight to let you know exactly, and now you know everything I know. In fact, there's 6 hours every 2 years. You know a lot more than I know. But now tonight, you know everything I know, and I'm the same Jack Hiles that I was 30 years ago, that I was 15 years ago, that I was 10 years ago, and nothing has happened. It's just the thing that I live with, like you have your burden and your problem that you have to live with. Our Heavenly Father, tonight, this has been very unusual, but I felt like I ought to do it, and I feel even now that I did the right thing. Now bless our people tonight. And I pray you'd help them to keep on going through their obstacles. Many have far more obstacles than I do. Many have things that would cause them to stop or turn back, far more things than I have. But I pray you'd help us to keep on going until we see the face of Him who is our Lord and our Savior. In His name, amen.